Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
You might have heard over the weekend the Belfast rape trial, which of course hit the headlines back in 2018 when rugby players Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding were found not guilty of raping a young woman after a night out. That trial is now going to be the subject of a new 6-part drama series. It's understood to be currently in production, and rugby player Paddy Jackson has now expressed concern about this, about the lack of communication, really, over the dramatisation of the controversial trial. And there's been a statement released too by his solicitor on this. And I'm wondering today, should there be a TV series made about the controversial case? Barrister and journalist Aileen Hickey is with us on the line today. Aileen, do you think this case, there should be a drama series? Is it helpful?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Well, look, I mean, first of all, you know, you got the number there. So Paddy Jackson and Stuart Olding were both acquitted in March 2018. So I think any dramatisation, particularly of a case that was so recent and so polarising, you know, is extremely a very emotive issue. I mean, you're turning what was a very polarising court case into commercial entertainment, which we seem to have a habit of doing. But, you know, here, the protagonists in this court case, which, as I say, is only 6 years ago, are trying to get on with their lives. I don't see how it's helpful for us. And I think it kind of invites a sense of prurience and, you know, maybe even a sense of voyeurism. There was already a lot of questions to ask and being asked, and a lot of discussion to being had about how the trial was conducted, you know, in terms of the evidence of the girl, in terms of the whole laddish culture, the WhatsApp groups, all the rest of it. It was a very high profile trial. As I say, it was very polarising. You know, I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that we find rape and murder trials, particularly when they're so recent and particularly when these people are trying to, you know, reintegrate themselves back into society and get on with their lives. And the fact that we find these so interesting and something that's just there for our general entertainment, I don't think it's good. You know, and I accept the fact that there's huge public interest in the trial. And as I say, you know, it was, you know, I suppose bordering on a kind of a prurient curiosity. But I was in a big difficulty with it. I've only just finished a book, the John Boyne book, Earth. And I'm not saying that John Boyne's book, you know, is based on the Belfast rape trial. But, you know, there are a lot of similarities, you know, in that there's a central theme, which is very similar, again, to the Belfast rape trial. And, you know, I just don't think dragging these very emotional trials out, you know, which are, again, as I say, you know, they're very polarising. They invited a lot of discussion at the time in terms of even how the trial itself was conducted back into the public interest. I don't see, apart from sheer popcorn entertainment, what there is to be gained for this.
Okay, now I know the some of those involved in the production of this, they were contacted by, we've contacted them here ourselves, some of which have been contacted too, I see, by the Irish Independent over the weekend, aren't necessarily talking about the project, saying that it's very sensitive, a lot of the details yet to be announced. However, some of the information about this has been online for some weeks, and what those behind the production say is that the film is going to challenge, not the film, I should say, the series is going to challenge our perceptions of the Belfast trial. It will explore the entire spectrum of rape myth culture as we follow really the complainant's journey through the criminal justice system. Is there any merit then in exploring, and even if it's not in relating to the Belfast rape trial necessarily or this particular case, Aileen, but is there merit in discussion around how cases like this play out, even by way of an educational piece for the public?
Well, there's obviously a big discussion to be had in terms of how the case was conducted, and there was, but not, you know, in a 6-week dramatisation, which, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what that statement is supposed to mean, but, you know, essentially, this is a 6-part dramatisation that is purely for entertainment, and I'm not sure what kind of collaboration there was there with parties on either side. And again,
well,
bearing in mind,
it would appear, according to Kevin Winters, it was a statement issued by him on behalf of Paddy Jackson. He said, you know, he talked about the fact that there had been no collaboration, and he felt that there should be collaboration. an aberration based on the fact that it's a drama-based series.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I would agree that if there is something, that it should at least have been collaborative. You know, I suppose, and my issue there again is, you know, is this the way that you changed the perception and how court cases of a very sensitive nature are conducted, or should they not be changed at, you know, at a legal level, at a court level? You know, this is not how you change how a court is to be conducted by a six-week dramatization. So, you know, I don't really buy that. You know, I think there's a lot of things being said to try and make it seem like it's okay. I don't think it's okay. You know, it's not the kind of thing that I want to watch. As I say, you know, again, it was a very high profile case. Did I watch it? Absolutely. You know, what I could have it. Did I follow it in the newspapers? I did. But you know, that there was a verdict. And those protagonists have had to get on with their lives. It was very difficult, I think, for parties on all sides. There's been a huge amount of discussion beforehand. There's been a huge amount of post-discussion. I don't think this is helpful.
Okay. Stay with us, Aileen, if you don't mind, because I just want to hear the thoughts of others joining us here as well. It's 1800-453-106 is the number. Mary Crilly is the founder of the Sexual Violence Centre in County Cork. Mary, do you think this is helpful, or do you agree with Aileen?
Well, I don't think it's kind of there for popcorn kind of looking. I don't think it's there for entertainment. I mean, I would welcome any kind of drama or anything that shows the court system as it is, that shows the legal system. You know, the whole, if it is through the complainant's kind of eyes, the weight of maybe a number of hours, the fact that she can be on the stand for up to 8 days, as was in this case. And I'm in cases all the time in court. And I think people who go to court as the victim, as a complainant, don't really know what's involved. And then, you know, they're on the stand. I mean, in my view, the only job for the defence is to raid and, you know, try and pick holes in the young girl to see how they can discredit her. You know, and that's really the basis of kind of court system. So I welcome anything that shines a light on this. Like, I'm going to court for 40 years. And, you know, I go into court and I kind of feel that's another part of my soul gone. Whereas working in the centre for 40 years, I can see changes. I can see changes with the guards. I do find the barristers in the court extremely generous, extremely helpful, you know, but then when they're on the other side, they have to do their job. But nothing has changed. And I do welcome a flashlight on it to say nothing has changed. And I mean, I totally agree people need to go on with their own lives. And so does the complainant. And I just think it's ironic that people who are accused of something all of a sudden find the word consent somewhere in their brain. Like,
the trial has happened, Mary. The verdict was delivered, and it was not for us to question. You know, the verdict. The people were acquitted in this case.
Okay,
and
but I look at stuff all the time on cold cases. I look for reviews of cold cases on RTE or on Prime Time or different things where they go through different cases, where they go through, you know, different people who murdered. There's, you know, Lavinia Kerwitt, Joanne Hayes. You know, all these things are brought up. It really depends on how this is done. If it's done to portray, this is what it's like as a victim of rape in this country, and this is what I go through. Yeah, I think that's really
okay. So you're just talking in a very general sense. So, but I suppose, Mary,
absolutely,
the point is how much drama is too much drama? You know, in a case like, as Aileen mentioned, is really leaving it up to an outside TV production. If we need changes to the system, and there have been some changes as a result in the North and the South as a result of the particular case that we mentioned, but is it up to TV producers and those scheduling TV productions,
to bring about this
level of education we're talking about?
Well, nobody else is doing it. Like, I know if you go into the court's kind of website, they have amazing stuff on court, and they have a new thing on where you can kind of visually see what the court is like. If you go into the DCP's office, they have really good information, and the guards have really good information, but nothing's really been put together. And I think people do have a right, and they do need to see it. Like, if you look at somebody, say, maybe the whole issue of counselling notes that often comes in to cases, and the victims might say, this is great because they really see how bad and the impact it's had on me, where in fact they're using it to discredit you, they're using it to find something that they might use against you. So there's a whole load of information that I hope they use in this thing. Like, as regards hiding it away, I wouldn't agree with that.
Okay.
I think go and do it.
Is it too soon? Be very careful
how you do it. Not at all. And I mean, I suppose where I've been coming from the work I do, if the victim in that case was okay with it, well, then I'm okay with it. She's not, then I'm not.
Well, that was the point I think was mentioned actually even by Kevin Winters, who in a statement when he issued that as Paddy Jackson's solicitor, like, you know, he talked about the fact that not only should there be collaboration or some communication, I should say, not even collaboration, but communication with himself or with the likes of Stuart Holding or Paddy Jackson, but that too, and that there should be engagement with the complainant and with the witnesses as well from that case, given the sensitivity around it.
Because, like, the complainant had nobody, had didn't have all these, like, she was questioned for 8 days.
And I know there's been a review as well. Wasn't it the Gillen review, I think, that was announced in relation to that and the implementation then, or the implementation of that following the case. But I think either way, what probably is really getting reaction or engagement from a lot of people today is that idea, I suppose, of having some level of communication between those involved. Dr. Conor Hanley's on the line as well, Mary. Conor's a law lecturer at the University of Galway. Conor, just to go back to Aileen's point for a moment, is the case too recent?
I actually share a lot of Aileen's concerns. I also share some of the points that Mary was making. This is a relatively recent case. It's 6 years old. It was very high profile, very emotional on both sides of the border. Some very strong opinions have been held and expressed about it. So, yes, in one sense, it is very soon. There is a legitimate argument to be made that all the parties involved want to move on, not just the defendants, but the complainant as well. This will be dredging up things for her as well. Her identity was known by some of the people in the courtroom, and there was some disgraceful scenes there, but, you know, where she was jeered and laughed at. So this is problematic on a lot of levels, but depending on how this is done, and we are shooting in the dark.
We don't know. We don't yet.
Exactly. And that's one of the big problems. If this is done well, then I could see some educational value coming out of it, in that this will be the first and, for most people, the only opportunity to see a rape trial, if it's done well. But if it's, and here I share Aileen's concerns, if it is presented in such a way that the four defendants who were acquitted were in fact guilty, well, that's a problem. That's a really serious problem.
Well, then that's not. Well, then it's easy. And that's the thing. It's like, is it something that is just based on, is it based on the actual case? Then it, you know, it is as well as the case. And obviously those involved were acquitted. But if it's an entirely new drama that's, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
30% loosely based.
The phrase that grabbed me was based on. That makes me a little nervous. Based on, it's the reports that I've seen have not suggested that this dramatization will be the transcript. This is what happened.
Well,
I
should say the Independent, I know, were reporting that they'd seen some of the promotional material,
yes,
which described,
yes,
the show as a courtroom drama based on,
yes,
trial scripts,
yes,
and public domain reports.
Yes, but now it's not just how the drama is written, it's also how it's edited. Things like tone of the language and the voices being used can all portray, you know, particular perspectives. What I don't want to see happen through this dramatization is that the case is effectively reopened and we start saying, well, hang on a second, maybe these guys were guilty all along. The case was presented. It was a difficult case. There was a great deal of information and evidence presented. It was heard by a jury. They weighed it, and they came to the conclusion that it was insufficient to justify a conviction. That has to stand. I would be very nervous on basic rule of law grounds if we're going to start trying to reopen cases because we don't
the
outcome.
And there's nothing, look, and to be fair to those involved from
sure,
what we've read about the production of it, there is nothing either to suggest that, as I said,
indeed, and this is why I said we're shooting in the dark, Andrea. We don't know. But I share a lot of Aileen's concerns, but I also, as I say, share some of Mary's points. I think there could well be some very genuine educational value here that can kickstart a wider conversation about how we respond to sexual violence. That would be a good thing.
Even if it is based solely on the trial as it is.
Indeed, and okay. if that is accurate and an accurate portrayal, and we're not just treating this as a form of entertainment, or worse, that we're trying to reopen the case surreptitiously, then it's a matter of legitimate public concern. It's a matter of considerable public concern. And dramatizations in that respect are perfectly valid.
For all of the reasons that Mary, you know, mentioned as well, and Mary talked about going through rape trial and sexual assault cases with victims, absolutely nothing to do with what happened back in 2018, but just in a very general sense, and how difficult that is for the complainant, for the accused as well, you know, and maybe there's
rape crisis centres around the country. I know Mary has been heavily involved in this for a long time. I'm involved in it here in Galway. These centres and these advocates do try to tell potential complainants and make them aware of what the process is, how it works. It is an unpleasant experience. It's a bruising experience. And we try to make these people aware of that. On the other hand, we don't try to scare them off either. We want them to be aware. And this feeds into my point about educational value. There may well be educational value depending on how this is done and presented.
Okay. Stay with us as well, Conor. Ben Lowry is on the line. Ben's actually the editor of the Belfast Telegraph and has covered some of the trial that we're talking about. Ben, what's the reaction in Belfast to this, to news of this TV drama series being produced?
Well, can you hear me okay?
I can indeed, Ben, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I edit the Belfast newsletter, but I am not aware of the reaction to this drama because I was asked on to speak about the trial itself, but I can tell you a little bit about my sense of the trial and the level of interest and so on that there was at the time.
Yeah. Of course,
well,
yeah.
It was a huge trial at the time. There was massive interest. There was all sorts of reasons in which people were interested. In our case, for example, we're a newspaper that covers has a lot of interest in rugby and in rugby cases, and therefore there was that element. And it was just unusual to even, obviously, rape trials happen often, but rape trials in which people are known are much less common. And as was being said in this conversation, there was a lot of concern afterwards about how best to handle these cases. And in fact, there has been an overhaul of how sex cases in Northern Ireland are handled as a result of it, which is has created its own problems. For example, the public is no longer allowed to go into trials like this, just walk off the street.
This is the Gillen Review, afterwards? The anonymity laws.
Yeah, and I should say that your contributor there was saying that there were reports of laughter and jeering. I mean, I wasn't present every day, but when I was present, there was no hint of that at all. I mean, it was taken really seriously. About a third of the public gallery was given over to the press because there was so much press interest. Most of the press that I saw was from Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, because obviously rugby is a cross-border sport. But people took it very seriously. The court took it very seriously, and it was a very somber atmosphere that I saw. Now there are all sorts of changes so that it will be easier in cross-examination of a complainant. But I think a thing that is easily forgotten in this is that these players were named. They were photographed going into court. This was a trial that went on for many weeks. They were seen day after day after day. And the people who heard all of the evidence, well, obviously there's some evidence that they don't hear, but the people who sat through the entirety of the trial decided within a little bit more than 3 hours that they unanimously that they were not guilty. So I mean, then of course there was a campaign afterwards on both sides of the border, a big, huge public campaign where people were saying, "I believe her," and you didn't have anybody sort of saying on behalf of the defendants in the case, "Well, you know, the jury that heard the case found it very." Because I think one thing that really struck, I did write about this afterwards, one thing that really struck me about the case is how phenomenally difficult it is in any case like this, short of having CCTV. to get to the find out what really happened. But I do think that when I make the observation about the defendants, I'm only saying that I think that that's an aspect to it that was lost. And
okay,
I think
just to the point that was mentioned, Ben, a few moments ago, and maybe Connor, just to get your thoughts on this. I understand that the new 6-part drama is going to be called hashtag I Believe Her, which, as Ben mentioned a few moments ago, we saw a lot of, we heard a lot of. It became a trending social media hashtag and campaign in the aftermath of the trial. You know, either way, it's a provocative name.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And again, we haven't seen it. We don't know anything about it, etc. But the name does sort of suggest that maybe the slant that could be taken is one where the four defendants were wrongly acquitted. And as I said, that's hugely problematic if that's what this dramatization does, and that we
don't know. As I said as well, the promotional material talked about the courtroom drama being based on trial transcripts and public domain reports. We're talking there about the Belfast rape trial, this new 6-part episode drama called hashtag I Believe Her. It's still apparently in production, not due to be released until next year, but I have no doubt you're going to hear a lot more about that. Dr. Conor Hanley, he's a law lecturer at the University of Galway. Aileen Hickey, barrister. Mary Crilly there from the Sexual Violence Centre in Cork, and Ben Lowry from the Belfast Newsletter. Thanks a million to you all for joining us in the show. It's 087 1400 106.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.